Today on the Nerd Outcast podcast, we talk about Baldur's Gate. Fashion. And this is going to be an interesting episode today. Unfortunately, one of my experts had to drop last minute, so we are a room full of outcasts, and we have one expert on with us to discuss this great 1998 role-playing game, Baldur's Gate. So this should be pretty interesting. Hopefully we won't gang up on everybody. Let's go on and start introducing our outcasts first. My first outcast has been on before, and his name is...
Mark Soloff.
Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Can't wait to gang up on people.
So, since we're talking about nerd things, nerd video games, specifically for PC Mac, have you played Baldur's Gate?
No, sir.
Okay. You have played other BioWare/Black Isle games, however.
Yes.
What games are those?
Well, I'm not a PC gamer any longer, and so I didn't really get into any BioWare stuff on PC.
Wait, why are you not a PC gamer anymore? This sounds like a story.
I went to college and...
wait.
And I grew up a lot, I got more interested in dating. Look at your audience! No. Well,
that's all staying in. I'm not editing that out.
I went to college, and my computer got, as time went on, grew more and more obsolete, and I couldn't afford to keep up pace with the game's demands. So I got into console gaming instead.
What was one of the last PC games that you played?
Probably StarCraft.
Oh,
the first one.
That came out the same year as Baldur's Gate.
Whoa!
Whoa! 1998, man. It was a good year.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite games? I know you really enjoy Mass Effect, correct?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Mass Effect Trilogy, I love that. I loved Fallout. BioWare stuff. I loved Knights of the Old Republic, the KOTOR stuff.
Mm-hmm. Jade Empire?
I never played Jade Empire.
Okay.
Sorry.
Nobody played Jade Empire. fair enough. Let me ask you this. Do you play Dungeons & Dragons?
I do now, but I am a recent convert.
Oh.
I was not born into it.
All right, Bane.
Thank you.
question.
Which edition are you playing of D&D?
I'm not sure what edition we're playing. The DM has like a cardboard thing that he sits in front of him so we can't see what
okay.
he's doing.
What?
We are using like the manual from the latest version.
So you're in 5th edition then? Okay.
Okay, yeah.
All right. All right.
I'm a bard.
Nice. All right. Well,
that's surprising.
I want a picture of you with like in a little word bubble, just saying I'm a bard.
All right.
We're printing out the I'm a bard T-shirts in nerdoutcastpodcast.com. Right.
What's one of your favorite role playing games?
Yeah, talking for video games.
Yeah.
Oh. Does Fallout count?
Sure.
Yeah. Fallout. I love Fallout.
Okay.
I love the world. I love its sense of humor. And it's kind of interesting combat mechanics.
And being a new convert to D&D, how are you enjoying it?
I like it a lot. The way we're playing is very sort of acting, improv, role-playing heavy, and not a lot of like math and dice and rules. So I really appreciate that because I come from an acting background.
All right. Well, that is my first outcast. My second outcast has also been on before, and his name is...
Pete Novus.
Hello, Pete.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
All right, so I gotta ask you this. All right. We know you're a PC gamer.
Yes, left and right.
During the time that Baldur's Gate would have come out. So how in the world did you miss this?
Okay, so I actually just sort of glanced off it. I don't remember, like, what I was expecting from it, but I had downloaded a demo of Baldur's Gate. Because I was that guy at my floor in college who would like download all these game demos and then tell everybody else what they should be playing. Yes, I had too much free time. No girlfriends. So I downloaded it. I started a game, and like all of a sudden I'm in combat, and like everybody in my party is getting killed, and my first people I run into, and I'm like trying to, I'm like, how do I control these people? I felt like there was this overwhelming amount of stuff that I could do to like maximize my efficiency, but I didn't have, I guess, the patience at the moment to learn how to do all those things.
Okay. We already mentioned StarCraft. What games circa, you know, 1998, 99 were you playing?
Let me see. I think I was playing some, probably Age of Empires 2. Half-Life mm-hmm. was about around then. Diablo 2 I don't think was out yet. Mm-hmm.
StarCraft?
Let's see. No, I was not a StarCraft person.
Okay.
I was more on the, like, Age of Empires and Command & Conquer side.
Okay, so kind of
RTS.
Okay.
Yeah, lots of shooters, because that's what you play in college. Because you can hear your buddy scream from down the hall. Get that perfect shot.
Boom, headshot.
So satisfying. You hear somebody's keyboard just slam against their desk.
Have you played any of the other Black Isle / BioWare products?
I know I've played BioWare stuff.
Okay.
More recently.
Mass Effect.
Yes, that whole series, which was great. Very satisfying. And I didn't mind the ending.
Nor did I.
The ending was fine.
I agree. I agree.
I played the
we'll
Medieval
say that for another
Republic
podcast
games.
Then, I guess.
Black Isle, I'm not sure.
Okay.
The name isn't ringing bells, so I don't... If they were like the old school D&D universe...
They were.
I probably did not play many of those.
Okay. Dragon Age. Did you say... Have you played?
I played the first two?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Have you played Jade Empire?
No.
Nobody's played Jade Empire. I just want to see. I just want to see if this room is, in fact, not play Jade Empire. Neverwinter Nights, Planescape Torment, Icewind Dale, any of those?
Planescape Torment, yes.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of Bards, I did attempt to play some of the really early, like the Bard's Tale, like 1 and 2. Like, really
mm-hmm.
clunky.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I had played later games before I tried going back to those, and they were so primitive by later standards.
This will be a question I save for my expert, but I know a lot of people, all of these kind of D&D games run on the Infinity Engine, I think is what they called it, which is that isometric view
that
of the world. Yeah.
Three-quarter top-down.
Yeah.
Baldur's Gate was the first one.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate was the first one to do that. I don't think Diablo used it, although it looked very similar.
Yeah.
But a lot of people point to Planescape Torment as being their gold standard, the best of their products. So I'll be curious, Brad, if you think Planescape is better than Baldur's Gate. Because I hear a lot of good things about Baldur's Gate, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
To the other games I had played before this, in the same genre, were like Ultima 6 and 7, Eye of the Beholder, which I think Eye of the Beholder was the game that ruined the Bard's Tale games for me.
Mm.
Because it was the same sort of setup, but with a more simplified graphical interface.
Okay.
Less math, less drawing maps.
Were there any other problems with Baldur's Gate that kind of turned you off on it?
I don't think so. I think it was just, it wasn't what I was looking for at the moment.
Okay.
And then I never got around to getting back to it.
You're also a D&D gamer.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about those experiences? Do you enjoy it? Is there any major frustrations with it? I'm your GM, so be very careful.
No, it's actually been great to finally get to do that. Because it was something that, like, I was one of those kids who grew up in, like, a very religious conservative household in the 80s. When D&D was how people get demon-possessed.
Yeah.
And get hooked on the hard drugs and end up, like, summoning demons in a basement somewhere.
I mean, we did all that.
Right.
Like, you and me, we've done
yeah.
that.
But I mean, as adults, no.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, when I was a kid, it was that sort of, like, really cool, mysterious thing that I was really interested in, but, you know, it was totally unacceptable at, like, the Christian school that I went to. Just never had, like, access to, like, you know, find a group of people who are playing or, like, observe it, things like that.
All right.
So, it's been very nice. And I'm really waiting. I'm hoping we'll get that game in so I can bust out my gnomish bard.
Before you
yeah.
leave in
right.
a month and a half.
Sure.
Okay.
I have a question. A Bard's Tale.
Yes.
Which, was it on the PC that you played?
Yes.
Okay.
Those were, like, PC. Like late 80s
okay.
PC.
Okay.
Dungeon crawler.
Okay.
Yep.
There's, like, six of them, right? 8?
I don't know.
There's a lot.
I know they were coming out in like sets of like, you can get Bard's Tale 1, 2, and 3 on a 5 1/4 floppy disk for $14.99.
Well, we're all old.
What's a disk?
What's a disk? That is my second outcast. My third and final outcast, perhaps the purest of my outcasts, has been on before, and his name is...
Joel Thompson.
Joel, welcome back.
Thank you.
You were just on our Christmas episode.
I was on your Christmas episode.
Yay!
Yay!
So the reason I say pure outcast is you have not played any of the BioWare Black Isle games, like no Mass Effect. Did you play Dragon Age?
No.
Okay, no Dragon Age.
Jade Empire.
No. So I did a reverse of everybody. I did not start off on my computer until I was a console gamer, and then I became a PC gamer. Hmm. I was just looking at Black Isle Studios. I played Baldur's Gate when it was on the PS3 or the PS2.
There was a PS2 version of Baldur's Gate?
Yes, I think.
Hmm. Why do you keep saying Baldur's Gate?
Because it's Baldur's Gate?
It's Baldur's Gate.
Baldur's Gate.
Well, it depends on your perspective.
It's like Watergate.
Which is true.
It's like, as opposed, to his, as opposed to his, as opposed to picket fence or something.
Water?
Gate.
Taco Bell?
Go on.
And then I played some of the Neverwinter Nights.
Okay.
And that's about all I can remember.
Let's expand it then.
Okay.
What were you playing on console at this time? Do you remember?
Oh,
like
Lord.
Back in 1998?
No,
Too many drugs between now and then?
Probably. how old was
right,
I?
Was
I don't even remember how old I was in 1998.
Well, when were you born? No, you were like 20 or so, right?
Yeah, 19 probably. 1990.
Oh yeah, well yeah, I graduated high school in 1998.
Wow. I just beat up the kids who
played
video games.
I don't remember.
Okay, what? Then let me.
He's got a Bourne Identity situation going on.
I don't remember. I mean, what I remember of Baldur's Gate is playing this game with my best friend Peter, and we. I don't know, it was like, we're going to play a dungeon crawler game, and I was addicted to it, because if I could level up, I could get more powerful, and I get more powerful, I can kill more things.
Totally
the American
addicting.
Dream.
That's
yeah.
what they were talking about.
Right,
it's very,
right.
All this stuff
so,
is very addicting.
But yeah.
So you were probably, I think you were playing Dark Alliance.
Yes.
I think that's what came out for the consoles, which
yes.
was more of a dungeon crawler than a full RPG experience.
Yeah, it was not really an RPG. Yeah, it was a dungeon crawler.
Then along those lines, what is one of your favorite role-playing games that you have played?
I don't usually play role-playing games. I'm more of a hack and slash.
Alright, that's okay. Now, you do play D&D, right?
No, I don't play it at all.
I have to ask for the advice.
Yes, I play D&D.
Were we your first D&D experience, or had you played it earlier?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
You're my first, Chris.
Woohoo! All right. So, my three outcasts.
This is like the Sith training center on Korriban.
Well played,
thank
sir.
You.
So remember, you are my outcast, so you have the conch of outcast.
Do we
you
have
may...
to kill two of us?
You,
yeah.
Two of you will be dead before this podcast
okay.
is over. If you have any questions or comments or we start talking about something that you want to focus on, remember, you have that power to hijack the conversation.
Oh.
That's basically what that is. Let me introduce my lone expert who is here to talk about Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, Throne of Bale, Tales of the Sword Coast, everything in between. What's your name, sir?
Brad Rady.
Welcome back, Brad.
Pleasure to be here.
I'm really excited to have you on as an expert, and
thank
boy,
you.
Do you get the mother load.
Really? Weight of the world here.
Wait, is he a pure expert?
He's a pure expert.
Okay.
Pretty,
a shining
pure
beacon
Brad.
Of
yeah,
expertise
good,
in a
yeah.
sea of outcasts.
So before we talk about Baldur's Gate, what other... Because you're a are you a console gamer?
No, well, I've consoled, but man, there was a lot there that I kind of wanted to tackle. But we'll save the PC for console debate another time. But if money is a constraint, console might not be your thing with $60 games and not the ability to upgrade it. But, again... We'll save that for later. Apparently, I gotta defend the audience. You already said fuck him, so I'm gonna. I gotta back him
up.
Our
noble expert.
Been PC gamer my whole life, and I've had a couple girlfriends here and there, so I think I'm doing okay. But let me actually start off with this. The reason some of you guys might have missed it. Here are some of the other games that came out in 1998.
It's a good year.
The 90s. What an amazing time for PC gaming. Seriously, the golden age. Probably never going to get this again. Fallout 2, Might and Magic 6, Return to Krondor, Quest for Glory 5, King's Quest, Mask of Eternity, a couple Warhammer and Elder Scrolls games. You might have heard of those.
You're also getting Ocarina of Time on consoles, Metal Gear Solid.
Console game was great, yeah. That was
StarCraft.
Korn Family Values Tour.
Of the ones that you just listed, I know the first one, and that's it.
Okay.
All the rest of them I've never heard of.
All right.
Well, everyone, Fallout, of course, yes. Wonderful, wonderful stuff.
Are you still a PC gamer?
Oh, yes.
Okay, what are some of your favorite role-playing games? And have you, yeah, what are some of your favorite role-playing games?
Well, I think I just listed a few of them. But no, the hack and slash from the Diablo series. But even I love the dungeon crawlers too. Your Might and Magics, your Heroes of Might and Magics, man, all of them.
Had you played Eye of the Beholder?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the first person dungeon crawler.
Yeah.
Yep.
Have you played Black Isle or BioWare? Other products like Mass Effect,
yeah,
and all that.
I played the newer ones.
Okay.
You know, a lot of these big AAA console hits are a little dumbed down, if you ask me, for the console players. But you know, you guys do
it. Hit him, Mark. Hit him.
Now, Chris, just to be clear, none of your audience plays consoles, right? So they're cool with this.
Oh yeah, none
yeah.
of my audience members
okay.
plays consoles.
Great.
I need to ask a clarifying question, just because I'm slightly confused. When you say role-playing game, do you count like Diablo series as a role-playing game, or do you can count that as like a hack and slash?
Yeah. I think some people
it's
would attempt to argue both.
Yeah,
just like someone would say that Borderlands or that Fallout, some people would argue is a first-person shooter, and some people would argue is a role-playing game.
Yeah,
or both. So
if you have
stats
and a character and levels, that's pretty RPG-ish.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah. Well, in that aspect, I played Diablo and World of Warcraft. So.
World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft, for sure.
Yeah. Great
yeah.
A, yeah, yeah.
So, anyway.
But, yeah, no, the, you know, I play AD&D 2, a version called Pathfinder, which is more kind of dice and numbers and math and crunchy and less, you know, adventuring, I guess you'd say, which is, you know, to each their own.
Have you played the second edition version of D&D?
Pen and paper?
Yes.
No, this is why Baldur's Gate is so close to my heart.
Ah.
Because I couldn't, because I didn't have...
Those people.
Those people that have it, so it was just me and the computer.
All
again,
right.
Girlfriends.
See, I'm just like, because I never had a girlfriend, it was just me and my computer.
All right, well, let's start the discussion proper, and I will attempt to serve as somewhat pseudo-outcast, pseudo-expert. Baldur's Gate was released in 1998 by Black Isle Studios, who I believe became BioWare later on, or a lot of those people moved over to BioWare. Baldur's Gate 2 came out in 2000, I think it might have been 99. Both games were huge critical successes, they had expansion packs. Most people that I know of point to Baldur's Gate 2 as being the better game. And then,
true.
Of course, you have a whole series of what they called Infinity Engine games that were based on this engine, including Neverwinter Nights, Icewind Dale 1 and 2, Planescape Torment, and then, of course, later on where we get Dragon Age, Mass Effect, Jade Empire.
Which nobody played.
I'll kick off the discussion. I attempted to play Baldur's Gate, the very first game, back in 1998, just because I was a PC gamer. I was playing StarCraft and Diablo, and it looked interesting to me. I was a D&D player, so I thought this was cool to play a game set in the world of actual D&D, and specifically, Baldur's Gate is set in Faerun, the Forgotten Realms setting along the Sword Coast, for those of you who know that area. And I really wasn't taken with the game. I think it was just a little too much for me. I didn't know what I was doing, and I kept getting killed by kobolds.
Which is just embarrassing.
Which is embarrassing. And it's a game that does make no attempt to hold your hand. I mean, there are rooms that you can walk into in the very first town that you'll walk into, and there's giant spiders, and they kill you. It's like, well, I know never to go into that door again. On the flip side, because it doesn't attempt to hold your hand, there's so much exploration and so many hours of questing that you can do, aside from the main quest, that it can definitely suck up your life. So I played Baldur's Gate for a little bit, kept dying, I didn't get it, and I stopped and did not go back to it until 2 weeks ago in preparation for this podcast. And I have many thoughts about it, but Brad, I want to jump over to you and ask you, what were your first experiences with the game?
I learned what the word benevolence means. No, it's it was like I said before, it was a great way for me to really get into Dungeons and Dragons when I otherwise wouldn't have had that outlet. So it was great. I mean, it's like I said, you can spend as much time in the world as you want. You can run through the main story quests and just follow it along, or you can run around to each area and meticulously search under each rock and avoid spiders. By the way, there is a difficulty setting.
Could
have dropped that down. It does start off in like the pure D&D. Well, no, there's the normal D&D settings, which is probably a little tough for the game, especially for if you're kind of new to it. And then you can ratchet it up to insanity, or kind of knock it down to more of like, if you're just kind of for the story or the exploration of it, then.
And you can do this at any time.
Oh, yeah. 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 So you can, oh, no, that cave of spiders, I shouldn't go there. Maybe I'll just knock it down a few difficulty and search it and, all right, turn it back up if I feel about it. But it's the kind of game that I think is, there is a bit of a curve to it if you're not a big RPG or D&D person. Certainly, but even if you are, there can be the difficulties with it, but it's such a deep game that you can really get a lot out of it.
Speaking to the D&D side of it, playing it recently, it's been a long time since I've touched 2nd edition D&D. Mainly Thaco is
right?
What I'm trying to, like, wait,
is
it a
high or low?
Is,
yeah.
That's lower. I want a negative Thaco. Wait, that's good. Yeah, yeah.
Low AC, Thaco.
Thaco. I found the spell system pretty similar to... I'm a big 3.5 gamer. That's my favorite edition currently of D&D. Oh, God. Is there a question from the audience? I feel is...
Well, I feel like this was one of the things that, like, really threw me off when I first ran into the game. It was because I didn't have any kind of D&D background. Mm-hmm. So, all of a sudden, like, oh, I've got this character, and it has, like, 15 different stats... And I can sort of think like, oh, intelligence, that means he's smarter. But I don't know how that translates into like, what is he good at? What is he especially effective at? And like, what's like a critical failure in a character that like, this guy should never pick up a sword.
Rolling zero proficiencies were everything. Yeah.
So did you have like that exposure to D&D before coming into this?
I did. My few friends and older brothers had the D&D books, and they played them, and they knew them. So I was, and there were other games, PC games around, and console games as well, I suppose, that did have that element. And even if it's not D&D specifically, the strength, dexterity, constitution, intelligence, that kind of, it's kind of the standard, I guess, of role-playing, which is obviously rooted in Dungeons & Dragons.
I had an opposite experience because I was playing a lot of 2nd edition D&D at that time, and those experiences of role-playing were so good that a computer game attempting to replicate the D&D engine wasn't working for me. I would rather play something original that wasn't attempting to take a pen and paper game and make it a computer game, and I think that was part of the barrier for me,
a little too literal.
Yeah, and like, I remember playing the game and thinking, you know what? Like, sitting around a table with friends is way better than this, mm-hmm. which I didn't get with Diablo. Hmm. But Diablo is more of a hack and slash, I guess you could argue.
Yeah, it's faster paced.
Yeah.
Is there Neverwinter Nights, when I played that for a little while, there was a place where you could, click at some point, and then it would reveal your dice rolls on it. Did Baldur's Gate have that as well?
Where so
did
display
you,
that as
yeah, did, yeah, like display you could
the
display
dice
your dice to see what you were rolling.
I believe it did. It did. You might have to change the setting or maybe even mod it a little bit, but I'm pretty sure it did show the rolls.
Okay.
But yeah, the exposure to that kind of helps take the cloud away of, you know, what is intelligence really good for? How does it affect the character in game? And all of those mechanics, which you're
right.
Absolutely right, is a big learning curve for people
yeah.
not exposed to that.
I mean, it's strange because, I mean, all video games have some type of engine running underneath.
Sure.
And some just hide it better than others.
Sure.
Baldur's Gate doesn't really make any attempt to hide it. Because
that's the kind of the thing. It's like some people, you know, could easily say that it's a very restricting game for the Dungeons & Dragons world because you're not, you know, able to explore with a table of friends that you would in person. I mean, there's a total difference there. But for the kind of number cruncher, dice roller, tactical, you know, having a fireball up here away from your guys, kind of a big deal. Otherwise, you're going to char them up. So it's that kind of fun. Which, by the way, the new Steam edition with the extended edition threw in some new characters, I believe.
Yes, it did.
And there's a wild mage class,
yep.
I believe, which is a boatload of fun.
Well, let's talk about that. So I booted this game up and you can choose to play a pre-made character or you can make your own. I remember with Baldur's Gate 1, you start at level 1. Baldur's Gate 2 being a direct sequel, you start around level 6?
7.
6 or 7? So I jumped into Baldur's Gate 2 and decided to make a mage because, come on. Because
they're awesome.
Because they're awesome. And I had the option to be a dragon disciple. And I thought, well, that's cool. I'll take a breath weapon. So I did dragon disciple, mage, and then, of course, got the rest of my party as I started playing. Is there a class that you preferred to play with?
I always went with the thief, with the rogue. I'm a big fan of... And that's the great mechanic in Baldur's Gate is the sneaking around and the backstabbing. Nothing like a 4x backstab and you actually have to be behind the guy. And with these little tiny isometric characters, it's kind of hard to see exactly where their back is. Is that a shoulder? Is that their... Yeah, so... But it was a whole lot of fun doing that.
One thing I really like about the thief in this game is the search trap ability.
Oh, it's great.
Because you just turn it on and you walk into a room, and then you wait for things to light up.
So you can see
where the traps are.
you have to move one step at a time,
yeah.
And then wait for those to pop up, because otherwise you will... Yeah, and the trap, they're merciless. They're merciless
uh-huh.
in the game. Again, one wrong turn, and then it's... You're dead.
It's harsh. It's not
well,
an easy game.
Adventuring ain't easy.
You played both Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, right, Ben?
Yes.
Which one do you like more?
2, because it was more polished.
How so?
Because it, the gameplay mechanic was a little more forgiving. There were more settings, more exposure, more polished combat, that you could kind of tweak the game more to your liking, if depending on your playstyle, and the different characters, like you said, if you're picking your own character, you know, playing a mage is a lot different than playing a paladin, you know. So there's different ways to go about it. You can spend way more hours in the game sneaking around as a thief, looting chests and stealing everything off merchants and commoners walking around. It's a total waste of time. you just get a few gold here and there, but it's just addicting and fun.
I want to talk about the story, because story is a big facet of any RPG for me, and I'm a JRPG guy, so I'm totally fine with being on a pretty linear story. How is the story for Baldur's Gate? Do you remember details about it? Because I've got some notes about it.
Yeah, if you got some notes, I'm a little fuzzy on all the details.
Okay.
But I do remember it being incredibly in-depth and very wide-reaching. It was a very big story.
To jump into Baldur's Gate 2, I looked up just kind of like a synopsis of the plot for the first game, and your character starts off in this tiny little town called Candlekeep, except for rooms with spiders, and you've been raised by this man named Grian, I think is his name.
Sounds right.
Grian Reynolds. And you have been raised with this girl named Imoen, if I'm pronouncing her name.
Imoen.
Yeah. Your master is killed, of course.
Typical.
And you are hunted throughout the game as you try to make your way to Baldur's Gate, I believe is where you are going. It turns out that thousands of years ago, before you were even born, a god walked to the earth and realized that he was going to be murdered. Baal, he's the god of murder. And he sired a bunch of different children to continue his bloodline. So for the day when he would be killed, he would have a vessel to take back. And it turns out you are one of the Baal spawn. You have the power of this dead god inside of you. And that's kind of the whole plot of the first game, is you finding that out. You find out that your brother is also Baal spawn, and you end up fighting each other, and it's tragic.
So it's like Star Wars, but a little dark.
Star Wars, really dark. And that's kind of a really quick, muddy synopsis of Baldur's Gate 1. Baldur's Gate 2, you have been captured by a wizard named Arrhenicus. And I have no clue what he wants. I don't know. I just got out of his dungeon, and now I'm walking around the town. But you—that's kind of the thing. Like, you're this kind of walking embodiment, one of the sons of Baal. And yeah, I don't really know where it goes from there because it's 60 hours long, and I haven't finished it yet. Sounds a little bit like Supernatural with the whole demon blood plotline. Yeah, I wonder if that's where they got it.
Huh, those bastards.
Those bastards.
Well, I mean, that's pretty standard, like, game, movie, fantasy, like, oh, you thought you were ordinary, but you have this hidden, crazy destiny.
Right, you're dragonborn.
Yeah, it's always like, farm boy who has a powerful talisman, or...
Chosen one.
You know.
But in-game, I don't know if it really... I mean, you get, like, a few special abilities, but otherwise it's not. You're just another
person. You're that guy.
Like, it's just a fact about your existence.
Right.
So it's,
it's just, yeah, it's color for the story, yeah.
It's why everybody
which is great.
Wants to kill you or
right. Well,
marry
it's
you.
It's got to have a reason for all of that, yeah.
One thing I did notice playing the game was there are a lot of meticulous nods and references to the world of Faerun. And, like, the specific god that they're talking about, Baal, like, they're referencing the Time of Troubles, which is the time when all the gods were forced to live amongst humanity to teach them humility, which is in the second and probably current editions of D&D. Like, all that lore is there. So it was really cool to see those references actually play out in a video game. And I know, like, Alminster and Dritzto Urden make appearances, voiced by Frank Welker.
Whoa.
Yeah, we'll talk about the voice acting.
Great voice acting.
So it was really, really cool to see those nods. Brad, do you have anything you want to add to any of that?
Yeah, just it was very apparent that they made a lot of effort to really immerse you in the Forgotten Realms environment. And that's much appreciated. And it is, I guess you'd say, maybe the most typical D&D world.
I think it's their
high fantasy kind of thing.
You mean Forgotten Realms?
Yeah, yes.
I think Greyhawk used to be their moneymaker, and now I think Forgotten Realms is.
Okay.
I personally like Eberron, but I think that's too much mixture thrown in. I think Forgotten Realms is kind of their pure fantasy, you know, and then you have Planescape, which is kind of their weird
a lot
world.
Of bone.
Yeah, Ravenloft.
I
think.
Of blood.
Yeah. I think Forgotten Realms is their flagship series.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are hell enough a lot of books set in Faerun, and I know Dritzt and Alminster are two of their most popular characters, so...
It's fun. I try and spend a lot of time... Again, there's things in this game where you can just try and do and really kill a lot of time. Killing Dritzt, who is the dual-wielding...
Dark Elf.
Dark Elf, thank you. You can kill him in the game and get his weapons. It's incredibly difficult.
You can kill him?
There's the scene, you find him in the middle of, like, this pasture kind of thing, and he comes by I believe, with a group of kobolds in tow.
They're the Goombas of this.
Yeah, movie. Exactly. Oh, kobolds. But yeah, he's like, oh, help me kill these guys, and oh, good job, go talk to this guy in Baldur's Gate, tell him I sent you, and there's, it's just a total side quest.
Just a neat little fan service.
Right, but if you, you can fight, attempt to fight him after you kill the kobolds, and before you talk to him, and when he gives you the inn, the link up into Baldur's Gate, and you can try and kill him, but it's incredibly hard, and you really have to drop the difficulty all the way down and kind of cheat, but it's doable. You can also steal his weapons.
It should be really hard.
It is.
Yeah.
Here's a question on difficulty settings. You know, you go like you've got your settings, but like, does the game scale itself to your character level, or is it just that like this area over here, you better be level whatever before you go there?
Yeah, it's very not linear, but it's a big sandbox kind of game. But you can explore everywhere, even places you should.
Right.
And when you scale it down, it's like, you know, monsters do half damage, you have twice as much life, that kind of thing. So right. It doesn't scale to your character. It's your character needs to, you need to find the places.
Right.
Kind
like
of where
you better practice here for a while before
right.
you go over there.
Okay. Right. And the game does generally a pretty good job of, if you kind of follow the main plot, it'll
right.
it's
it'll
made
take
to scale.
You.
Yeah. It builds that way.
But how going back to the lack of hand-holding, like, did you find that frustrating, or was that really liberating?
Sure,
or?
No, it was very often very frustrating. I've been killed by kobolds and spiders just as much as the next guy. But that's...
Methods.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of the fun of it. You go into a cave, and you die a bunch, and you save often and early. But, you know, after an attempt, you can't do it, you're like, all right, it's a lesson in humility. You hold your head low and move on.
Speaking to the difficulty, I put the game on the easiest difficulty because I remember the kobolds, and me personally, like, when you go into combat, there is no auto-pause feature. At least I haven't found it. So the moment, like, you walk in, the computer has the advantage because it immediately reacts way faster than you can and starts attacking you. So I hit the space bar and then, like, tell everybody what to do and hope nothing fucks that up. And usually, like, I don't find the enemies too terribly difficult. The traps are devastating. And I cannot imagine playing it on a higher difficulty with the traps. And I can't disarm the traps because none of my current party members, they're just not doing it.
Gotta have a thief.
I have two thieves, and neither, like, the characters the game has given me, at least in that first dungeon, are incapable of disabling those traps. And maybe you're supposed to walk around them, but the pathfinding can be really frustrating.
Yeah.
As a character just kind of walks this way, and it's like, no, no, you stepped on a trap.
That's kind of what I was saying before with the second one. There is an auto pause, and again,
okay.
I think this is part of the features that the second one did a lot better, which was AI for the characters that aren't you. You can individually go through and control each of them, but you can also have, like, scripts for them. So you're a defensive ranged person. You're an offensive cleric. You're a spellcaster. You're a melee fighter.
I need to do that. Then.
There is and it's tricky because you kind of need to dig into the settings and
yeah.
then there's this weird way to do that. But it's you can do that for each of your characters, which very much helps. You can have your thieves always automatically looking for traps or hiding in shadows or something like that, which really. Makes the game
far easier.
A little better.
But, like, you can play it and enjoy it instead of
right.
just managing it.
That's it. That's exactly right. Which it can be, you know, one of the biggest drawbacks is that it can be tedious with that. If you're not into the micromanaging of your character and your party, then
yeah.
keep it on the lower difficulty.
Like, I think that's what put me off when I tried to play it, is, like, I walked up, and all of a sudden I'm in combat, and I'm trying to, like, jump around, and, oh, now he's dead. No, I gotta get over
right.
to this guy. Oh, now this guy's dead, and this
yeah.
guy's running over here.
It's terrible. The pause feature is definitely a very important one, to plan out your plan of attack, and then have that go wrong, and try again.
There is, like, a video tutorial that comes with the game, but it doesn't really tell you much about the system. I know if you buy the game digitally, you get a digital copy of the instruction booklet. I highly recommend looking at that instruction booklet.
Oh, it's like 200 pages.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Just like X-Wing and TIE Fighter and all those old PC games, but it's so helpful to know how to... Like, I didn't know that you could program those scripts. That's really helpful, because every time I turn AI on, they're not doing anything.
Right, because they don't have a script. Yeah. It's just okay. Nothing, yeah.
Great. one thing I want to talk about is the voice acting, which is really freaking good. Sure. I booted up... I started playing Baldur's Gate 2, and the main villain is voiced by David Warner. Oh, come on. You're a voiceover guy, and you don't know David Warner?
I don't know.
I'm calling you out.
All right. Oh, you mean David Warner.
David Warner.
I thought you meant David Warner.
David Warner.
I don't know who that is. But if you guys know who that is, write in to Nerd Outcast. Who's David Warner? What'd he do?
I think he's one of the Warner Brothers.
He's one of the Warner Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Like, he's been around for like 150 years. He sold his soul to something.
All right.
He lives in that water tower.
Fine. I'll throw out other names. Jennifer Hale.
Uh-huh.
Jim Cummings.
Okay.
Kevin Michael Richards.
Oh, wow.
Frank Welker. Maurice LaMarche.
Oh, Maurice.
Maurice. All of these people
voice
different
guys.
Characters in this game.
And they probably weren't even that famous.
Yeah. Well, Frank Welker was, because he was
Michael
Megatron.
Richards back then must have been like... Just a little guy.
Like physically or like his resume?
A younger guy.
Yeah.
I mean, they were all technically younger, but I mean, he didn't really break out until the past 10 years.
Yeah, I was really, really impressed by the caliber of the talent. And I think these are all like people kind of either early career or, you know, had just gotten some feet off the ground. And Pete and I were listening to some of the voiceover today. Some of it's really good. And some of it's, that actress probably didn't go on to do something else.
I've done a lot of work for adventurers like you.
Well, that was the downside with Imogen, was that she was incredibly annoying.
She is so annoying, and she's like, maybe your love interest or something,
it's
I don't
like,
know.
It's kind of like a sisterish, weird,
we're gonna call that weird?
But then when you
open
have her...
your mind, man.
You know, she's kind of like, oh, please don't arrest me. But then you have David Warner being like, shut up. Let them do their thing. Stupid wizards, blah, blah, blah.
So this must have been pretty early in the days of, like, putting lots of voice work into a video game.
I cannot speak to that. Like, where...
This is David Warner.
That's David Warner.
Yeah.
No, that's Ian McKellen.
David Warner.
But, like when you were playing it earlier, all of a sudden all these lines of dialogue are voiced. I was really surprised, because that's a big selling point for games nowadays, where they're like, 20,000 hours of actual voiceover in-game! But I feel like games back then, they would have, like, one or two sort of, like, generic voices that, like, narrate combat, and then maybe the lead character would have some lines.
This is kind of the middle ground for that. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, there's kind of that difference between, like, your Mass Effect and something like that. Mass Effect, they're great games, and they're generally very well voice acted, but I don't know, I guess maybe Mass Effect has more of that big game status of, oh, we have all these hours of effect, but like during combat or something, it'll just be the same two lines repeated over and over again. You know?
Somebody's like, oh, I've been hit.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been hit.
Take cover and get down.
I'm casting a spell.
Yeah.
I'm charging my fireball.
From what I've noticed of Baldur's Gate, like, it's kind of that middle ground, because I know in like Mass Effect and Dragon Age, full conversations are voiced. In Baldur's Gate, like, the first... Like, a character's first line will be voiced,
right,
and then the rest of the dialogue is not.
Right.
And there are, like, battle sounds.
Well, it's like, how many lines can you put on, like, that stack of 10 3.5-inch discs?
What did
this...
Was
this was probably on CD.
Yeah.
It was 5 or 6 discs, I believe. Yeah.
5 or 6. I know Planescape Torment's, like, 6.
Was this before Wing Commander? So I seem to recall Wing Commander had, like, video of Mark Hamill... doing stuff.
Well, that was in that weird era where there would be like full, like, digitized cinematics, like, in between missions.
Yeah,
I love
Privateer
those.
Did that.
I remember Billy Dee Williams on one of the Command and Conquer games. He was
oh,
like the general back at the base.
But yeah, it was like
Red Alert.
What's the biggest like sci-fi name we can get to plug in and do a little like?
Clive Owen did a Privateer game where you were his character, but it would be the same thing.
Great
game. You'd go into a bar and then it would just cut scene to like him talking to the bartender.
Yeah, he just
like
leads up the bar.
Okay, yeah. It was very strange. Yeah,
I'm glad
the 90s golden age
to the point we're at now. We're like. We all recognize that they're actors, but they stopped trying to, like, make the video game revolve around those, like, really sort of badly produced little clips.
Well, except for the Call of Duty series. They still did that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Speaking of just with, like, characters, is there any characters that jump out to you that you remember, aside from the character you create or...
Boo.
Oh, Minsk and Boo.
Minsk and Boo. I mean, that's a tag team made in heaven. The
Berserker.
It was technically he was a ranger, but he clearly had a few screws loose. You don't know if he got knocked upside the head too many times or he's just naturally. His companion is a hamster. So this and he would get enraged and go crazy, and you couldn't control him. And then he'd talk to his hamster and Kumbu, we must smite the enemy. And it was like, oh, okay, he's talking to his hamster, but he's doing a bang up job on the front lines.
Whenever you click him, he's like butt kicking for justice.
Yeah,
and it's voiced
very
by
lawful
Jim,
good,
Jim
yeah.
Cummings doing the exact same voice for Hondo from Clone Wars, same dialect and everything. Good job, Jim Cummings. No, I really like Minsk and Boo, his space hamster. And the space hamster is in his inventory.
Yes.
You can click on it and it goes beep. You know, it's like beep.
You can't move him.
Every time, like, anybody anywhere mentions Baldur's Gate, there's always somebody who says, go for the eyes, Boo!
Yes! Yeah.
And I've never known what that was about.
So. I feel he's, like, the character. Like, there's always that one character in these BioWare Black Isle games, like it's HK-47 from KOTOR,
yes.
Or Rex from Mass Effect. I think that's who Minsk is for these games. And you have to get him. Like, there's no way to get rid of him either from the party.
No, you don't have to keep him.
Well, you don't have to
keep
him.
You don't have to keep him. So you can form your party, obviously, by getting other NPCs. And there's a plethora of them. There's the good ones. There's the neutral ones, and then there's the evil ones. You can have a good or an evil or a neutral party. And if you have a good, like a Minsk and Boo or lawful good, and if you have an evil character in you, they fight. And eventually they will fight each other and to the death, and you kind of need to pick your group. And kind of need, there's a certain morale there.
Much like doing an actual tabletop game with a
yes.
mixed party.
That's one thing I actually really liked about the game. I remember, like, I, like, stepped away for a minute, and I came back, and Minx is like, I will put my sword in your butt! And the other guy's like, don't touch me, I hate you. I'm like, oh my god, they're about to fight
there's
in this tavern.
There's the crazy guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Playing Baldur's Gate 2, you start the game with Imogen, Minsk, and Jahera, I think is her name. She's like a wood elf druid.
I thought it was just Imogen, but I could be wrong.
No,
they're
locked in cages. I guess you can leave them in the cages.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I don't know if I'll leave Imogen there.
The game, you can be very cruel in this game.
Did you always play it good or bad?
I tried to go neutral. I tried to get a little feel for everything. Again, thief, just stealing everything. So that was really my prime goal.
What about the characters that you took with you?
They were probably either neutral or good. I think I went back and made an evil character or an evil party once, and you feel bad. You just kind of feel bad after a little while, and nobody wants to be bad.
Well, I mean, Minsk is so much fun to have in the party.
Right.
Right now I've got Jahera, or however you pronounce her name, and she's a druid, so everywhere I walk, like a minute will go by, and she'll be like, you know, nature could come back to this place if it was restored to balance.
Yeah.
She's also whatever accent that is. but just all the time, all the time, she's like, this cow is hungry. I'm like, just Jahera, shut up. I'm trying to get a murder. But I do agree with you. I think Imogen, who is a major plot point
mm-hmm.
to your character, is really annoying.
Yeah,
I don't know if she's in the first game, but...
Oh, yeah. You kind of need her in a lot of ways to not further the plot, but... really get the fuller picture of it
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason. Yeah, she's kind of tied to you for better or worse.
I've got a few other questions I want to throw your way, but my outcasts, do you have any questions or comments at this time? You don't even know who David Warner is. I don't want to talk to you.
Thank you. All right, great. Give me my check for being on the show and I'll get the fuck out of here. Oh, go.
No, no.
By all means. A lot of my old pals would talk about Never Winter Nights and what an awesome game it was. I never saw it and I never played it, but I would be interested in learning more about what that is because it had an influence on them.
Hmm. That's like the next rendition of these AD&D games. The first Never Winter Nights is arguably one of the best role-playing games of all time. Up there with Baldur's Gate and Fallout. Because not only because it's got a great story and it's fun and it's got the whole AD&D mechanic, but because the mods and you could literally create your own adventure. You would build the landscapes and the point where this character would come in and you'd have them say this, and you could literally create your own story, adventure, quests as big as small as you had time for. And there was a lot of community around that, which is another reason why PC gaming is so great, because you can, because there is that community that mods and builds, and we should, if I don't know if we're bringing up the expansion, the Tales of the Sword Coast, at some point, but, you know, compare that with DLC today. That was an expansion. That was practically almost an entire another game.
How much, do you remember how much the expansion was at the time?
Cost-wise?
Yeah.
Oh, probably, I don't know, most games are going for about 50, so I'd like to say $30 maybe.
And you needed Baldur's
Gate
to run it?
You did. Okay. You did need Baldur's Gate. But it was, I could be wrong on that price, but it was a really expansive expansion. It was literally that, an expansion, not... You download a few extra costumes or some hats, and you get, you know, a few extra side quests. It was like a whole new plot line and story, and it was great. Again, golden age of PC gaming. It's over. It's very sad, but we're moving on.
Do you know if Neverwinter Nights came after Icewind Dale 1 and 2?
I want to say yes, but I don't know. The first Neverwinter. Oh man, Icewind probably came first.
I know Icewind Dale is in Faerûn. I don't know if Neverwinter Nights is in the same Forgotten Realms setting or not. I think it is.
I want to say yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm the expert.
You had a comment.
So you brought up the question of morality, and you have the idea. Because it's me. You can go good, neutral, and evil. And is this... Did your choices affect the story then? Or is this like the very first... One of the first games that came up with the idea of having that party and you can choose to do what you want with it?
It affected a lot of how certain other characters interacted with you in the game.
Okay.
It didn't necessarily affect the main plot line, but it did affect your access to other people, to side quests, to, you know, rolling into the middle of the forest with Jahira. You had to have, I think, her or some neutral druid person to interact with the forest druids over there. And if you didn't have them, or you had like an evil character, they'd be hostile to you, or and you couldn't interact with them. Things like that. There's a lot of stuff like that. So yes, yeah, the makeup of your party did affect it.
You know, just to jump on that, like I feel specifically with Mass Effect and Dragon Age, like you can have people who are good and evil, and it will not destroy the party. Like. They will just stay there. Was that fun to like attempt to try and have two opposite alignment people, or would it always end up with the part like someone leaving? Is there a way to get the person not to leave? Like, can you have a party of opposite alignments? Or do you really stick hard to that rule?
You
kind of
need to stick to it. Yeah, I mean, for me, that was the fun of optimizing the party, and so everyone worked well together. And there's, again, I think one of the perks of Baldur's Gate 2 is that if you had two people, each person has like a partner basically in the game. Each NPC has another NPC where they really get along with. and they're buddies and they talk, and I think there's some sort of benefit mechanically in the game that goes along with that. But the makeup of the party, that was, you know, it was a personal choice, but it was also fun to optimize the group in that end. I'm sorry, I forgot where the first point you made.
I'm just looking at the list of characters, and it looks like there's 15 characters spread across good, evil, and neutral.
Yeah.
So many characters. Oh, D. Bradley Baker.
Hey, I know him. I mean, not literally.
Playing a bard.
A bard?
Yay. A bard?
You guys!
I mean, it's impressive. Like, just looking at this list, you've got paladins, invokers, fighters, rangers, illusionists, enchanters, thieves, lots of thieves. Ooh, necromancer. Ooh, voiced by Frank Welker.
Ooh.
Of course, Frank
There's
Walker.
A surprise.
I know, right? Yeah. Oh, a drow. You can get a drow? I want a drow. Anyway, you've got options.
Pause while Chris scrolls.
Pause while Chris scrolls.
Just fire the game up.
I know. Here's a question I want to throw out to you. You've played Dragon Age, right?
Yes.
Is Dragon Age the modern remake of Baldur's Gate?
No.
Why not?
No way. I remember what I was going to say before, but... Dragon Age was a great game. I played the first one. The second one I tried to play and it couldn't do it. It's different. Oh, man, in scope, really. Dragon Age is I think a lot more linear than Baldur's Gate in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I would argue that.
And it's, you know, the ending, I think, of Baldur's Gate, spoiler alert, I don't remember what it was, but there were two ways you could kind of... It was like you could either go good and evil, right? And it's essentially you're ending up at the same place. Whereas in the Baldur's Gate thing, I think the choices that you had, especially in your party makeup in Baldur's Gate, had a lot more impact on the game and the gameplay than your Dragon Age. Dragon Age is a great game, but I just don't think it has the depth and the scope that Baldur's Gate does.
It's definitely simpler, and I've mentioned this, I think I mentioned this on the Mass Effect podcast, but like Mass Effect, Dragon Age, KOTOR 1 and 2, like they all have this very specific plot structure that BioWare loves, where it's like you have your initial thing, and then you get to the meat of the quest where you have to go and do these 6 different things, whether it's find the pieces of the Starforge, go get the treaties signed, find the Jedi Council, like there's always like these 4 to 6 things. You do those things, then you head to the end of the game.
Yeah.
Baldur's Gate, I did not get that sense from. I was like, oh, I'm going to go find some acorns. Oh, nope, I didn't need to do that. Oh, I have no clue where to go.
For all of its fun, another major downside is that you can get bogged down in quests and side quests, and you can be clicking through the game for an hour, and then you look at your journal, and you're like, what am I supposed to be doing? And then there's 12 quests to go everywhere, and you can definitely get bogged down with that.
So that's what I love about games, is when you can just, like, just fool around for hours, and you're still doing new things that you haven't done before. You're not just like, oh, I'm going to keep slaughtering wombats in this forest until I level up.
Right.
It's
not a grind. It's
right.
an actual...
Like, you're... Like, they may be, like, irrelevant little bits of story, but they're still bits of story, and you're living in that world,
And it's great to see the developers like put that time and effort into having those little side story quest points that don't really mean anything except for your enjoyment, which is what this is all about, which is to spend time and immerse yourself in it and explore.
How many times have you played through the game?
I've only won it once. I've
okay.
been messing around with it on and off for
right.
for years.
Do you feel it holds up, or do you think there is a better... like Planescape or Icewind Dale, do you think something is... Let's not count Dragon Age or any of those.
Sure.
You know, of the Black Isle games, is it the best? Does it hold up, or is there something better?
Yeah, arguably yes. I mean, I think a lot of it is your personal play style and what you like, but I'd say, yeah, I've gone back and played the Enhanced Edition, and, you know, they didn't really add much. They made it look a little nicer. Added a few characters, which was nice. But it's not, it's still a great game. And compared to, you know, again, Neverwinter Nights is probably the closest comparative to it, comparative game. But yeah, I think it totally holds up. If you're into the AD&D RPG world, then there's very few other games like it.
Well, the game is, you can get it on Steam, I think. Mm-hmm. I know you can get it on Good Old Games.
Definitely get it on Steam.
We keep talking about the Enhanced Edition, which I know came out like a year or two ago for both games. What is different about those, aside from running on more modern PC?
Yeah, so it'd be funny. Older games like that, and like if you ever played the old XCOM games, and you tried to play it on a newer computer these days, it would just run... they're not used to multiple cores, let alone... you know, a graphics card. So it would just run so fast and you couldn't play it. Yeah. So there's mods to actually slow down your CPU time and so you can actually play it. But that was one of the main things of the Enhanced Edition, which brought it up to date in terms of the platform you could play it on. The other things, there was a resolution increase.
Oh, okay.
So that it looked a little nicer. You had a bigger view.
A wider view,
and it looked a little nicer. They added, I don't think they really added any quests per se, except for the 3, 4, 5 NPCs that they added, and each NPC has their own personal quest.
Okay.
So the wild mage, you have to kind of find her origins and where she came from.
When you boot up the game, like it shows you the 4 characters that they've added, and it tells you where to meet them,
mm-hmm.
if you want to meet mm-hmm. them, to get them to join your party, which is kind of cool. I want to look for the wild mage, and there's a monk that looks really cool.
I heard the monk sucks, but yeah.
Oh, I may not do the monk. Aww.
No, sorry. No, just from a combat, like I'm sure he's as a character he's great, but as a guy, as an effective personality.
Yeah. I want to play with him.
He's also lawful good,
yeah,
so you got to take that into account.
He's just not worth it.
All right, my outcasts. It's easily available on Steam if you could get it. You know, for $10 or not or whatever, would you give it a chance, or you want to stick with modern games?
I think I will definitely pick this up, because I will probably have a crap load of time that I'm trying to fill over the next year or so. We can talk about that later. But I've kind of had my eye on it for a while, but it's nice to actually hear some things about the game and learn a little bit about what sort of experience it will be.
My other outcasts...
I may. I think it sounds really interesting. Obviously, you guys are passionate about it after all this time, you know. So I'd be interested in picking it up. Not anytime soon, though, because I'm currently embroiled in many projects.
Dragon Age Inquisition?
I beat it. I was kind of mad about it.
I felt the same way about the Dragon Age games. It's like, oh, well, I guess, okay, let me beat it. All right.
Yeah.
And it didn't really feel urgent to me or important.
Yeah.
I was just like, well, there's just these things I have to do.
It's like a to-do list. Yeah. You check it off and then you're done.
Yeah.
I'm open to the idea of giving it a chance.
It's definitely, like, you can see where Black Isle and Baldur's Gate went, Black Isle and BioWare went after.
Yeah.
You know, like, you see the foundations for what would become Dragon Age and Mass Effect and KOTOR. And I also noticed, like, they treat the game kind of like breaks the fourth wall a little bit, where it kind of treats you as though you are sitting around a table with a pen and paper. Like, it opens with like a narrator saying, "You were raised in the location of Candlekeep. You trusted so and so for so long," like almost like a DM would during a D&D game.
There's chapters actually in the game that break down the story and try and get you.
Yeah. And it's I think that's Kevin Michael Richards narrating it. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
that guy could talk to me. Joel, what about you?
I think you can even get it as an app.
You can
get it on iPad.
Play it on your iPad.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that would be fun.
Oh, there is an iPad version, yeah.
I would probably... The only reason I think I would ever go back to play would just be able to see the history of where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
That I would find interesting. I'm not sure that I want to go back to play it just to be able to play it, considering that the newer games that I've played, then why go back? And the only unless I want to look at the history of it. Since I've never played it, if it's anything like Dragon Age, where you have a party and you control this party and where they go and whatever else, well, you can screw that because I'm not going to control the party. I'm here to play a game. You want to go do something, you go off by yourself. That's not horrible.
You're okay, a maverick.
It's not so much that. It's like, for instance, I just, in the recent World of Warcraft expansion, I have a bodyguard with me. And he follows me around everywhere, and at the same time, it's kind of the most annoying thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, he attacks when I want him to, that's great and all, but if I would have to stop off, you go do this, you go do... No. I just want to play the game, and I'll play it by myself. I would imagine, play this game by myself, if I could, without the rest of my party, just to be able to go, because I don't want to worry about...
So you can solo the game, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what I would do.
Yes.
Might not be
very
easy.
Difficult.
I would, for the history's sake, to go back to find out. Yes, just to be able to play it to find out what it's like. Probably not.
So you don't like working with others.
Have you ever played a D&D game with
you? You've never met me before.
No, I'm sorry.
There's a reason he loves Diablo.
Joel's the guy who, like, in a role playing game where it's like, okay, so our party's gonna be all good. He's like, how can I get an evil character? Like, I won't kill you guys.
Yeah.
I just want to be able to kill whoever.
For example, in a current currently playing 5th edition D&D, and I play a warlock, and I don't know, I was saved by this lady who we call the Dark Lady. I was basically dead and she revived me and whatever else. Come to find out, we go down to the Dark City of the Drow, and she's basically like a version of Lolth. Essentially, is what she is, right?
The Spider Queen?
Yeah, she's the Spider Queen, right? And so we're talking to, like, the Mother Redland, or whatever her name is, the oldest one of them all, right? And she captures us, and then she tortures us a little bit, and then we're standing in front of her, right? And she was like, oh, I had to trust you. You know, I had to find out whether I could trust you or not. And
trust
I was like,
torture.
Well, you could just stupidly ask, you stupid idiot. So now my GM, and because I mouthed off to a 2,000-year-old drow, of course my GM had to find a way to be able to, you know, not kill me, but also scold me because so that's the kind of stuff that I do.
So you do live for adventure, but it's just you don't live by anyone's rules, not even your own.
Yeah. Chaotic neutral.
You're more James Bond than Mission Impossible. Like a Mission Impossible TV show, where they work as a team.
Right, yeah, so...
That's fair. No, I will say the always online necessity for a lot of games these days is very annoying.
That is annoying. I would agree with you, yes.
Yeah. My outcasts, we're over the hour mark. Are there any questions or comments or anything that you want to talk about? Or, my expert, is there anything we haven't touched on that you really want to talk about?
Did you fight a dragon in this game?
Surely you fight a dragon.
There's dragon... Yes. Oh, yes. There's Raven? Not Raven. What am I trying to say?
Red Worm?
Shit.
I don't know.
There goes my credentials.
The podcast. I doubt
I'm a dragon named after a bird. I doubt in the first game, because you're only up to like level 6. How high level do you get in the second game?
I think it maxes at like 20?
Oh, no. I think you're right.
Actually. But no, there's baby dragons, there's big dragons. What am I... We need to look
Wormling?
This up.
A
something like
Wyvern?
Raven. No,
it's
yeah.
a Wyvern.
Rivern. Yeah,
Wyvern.
The W.
Give me your nerd card.
God damn it.
Should have been dating all those girls.
If you hadn't been dating, you'd
have
had
time to memorize the monster manual. So you fight a Wyvern.
You do fight many types of dragons.
You do. I remember my brother being like, oh, you fight a dragon, it's so cool.
Yeah, that's what I like to do in those games. Because that's like... Like, it's the game is divided for me into pre-fighting a dragon,
yeah.
and then life after killing a dragon, where you feel like a badass, but then everything else is meaningless. It's like
you got the best thing on your resume.
Yeah.
I killed a dragon. Have you killed a beholder?
Skyrim handled that pretty well.
I loved killing dragons in Skyrim. Sucking up their souls.
Dragon son of a bitch.
I'm a dragon bigot. I'm sorry. I think they're unnatural, and they should be scoured from the face of the earth. And wyverns, too.
Hey, listen to Mr. Lawful Evil over here. Well, if there are no further thoughts or comments, I need to slowly bring the Baldur's Gate podcast to a close. Hopefully we learned some things. We learned a lot of things about Mark and Baldur's Gate.
Baldur's Gate.
Brad, thank you so much for coming on. And
once, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, I think.
Single hand. Well, you had Pete in the pocket to begin with.
Yeah, I was ready to play.
I'll poke at Pete. Poke at his pocket.
Oh, right. Like a
Japan.
Yeah, I get it.
We're not going to poke you.
No. Good. I was concerned.
What am I, a kobold?
Brad, thanks for coming on and single handedly attempt to carry the Baldur's Gate discussion and make us all love it. Cool. At this time, does anybody have anything else that they would like to plug or give a little shout out to?
Check out pubhousetheater.com and come see some awesome comedy in Chicago.
What is Pub House Theater, Brad?
It's the comedy theater, fully engaged entertainment venue that I have in work for. That is a great place to come see a show and have a drink, relax.
Nice.
I'm good.
Season 2 of the web series Hashtag should be out on telofilms.com. If it's coming soon, if it's not out yet. There's way more women making out in season 2. My next big thing coming up is I'm going to Universal Studios Japan to work at Ollivander's Wand Shop.
Woo!
For about a year.
Woo!
So nice.
I will be an officially licensed wizard.
Lawful good? Evil?
I'm pretty sure they're true neutral.
Okay.
There's a lot of like we stand outside the conflict, so.
Do you get to name your character?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know if I get a name.
If you choose to. Are you allowed to get the mark and be able to hide it like on your arm? I'm just wondering.
Oh, here's another one of the really weird things I've been learning about Japanese culture lately, is there are still really strong taboos against getting any kind of tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're like, everyone's like, oh my god, are you Yakuza?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't go to, like, public pools or things like that.
Mm-hmm. Really? Don't be a Death Eater.
So, when my wife comes and visits, she's going to be, like, wearing a burqa, I guess.
Yeah.
It's really like the equivalent of having, like, face tattoos in America.
Yeah.
Like, you are, like, on the edge.
What's the time difference?
I will be 15 hours ahead of you.
Getting you on a podcast with Skype's going to be rough.
Whoa. No, it'll be fine, because if you record in the evening, it will be the next morning for me.
Okay.
So as long as it works with my days off.
Okay, that might work.
It is currently, hold on, because I have this in my phone, I needed it. It is 5:20 a.m. in Tokyo.
Wow.
Yeah. Doing an evening here.
That's it.
All right. Well, then, dear listener, Pete will be back via the magic of Skype. And hopefully we'll have played Baldur's Gate in that time.
Yeah.
The magic of Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, Harry Potter.
Hopefully we'll have a nice, like, 3 to 4 second lag in the conversation. Just to make it utterly unlistenable.
I got a lot to plug.
Do it.
You guys, I do my own podcast called Blastro Podcast. It's a science comedy show. Chris has been on it, and he will be on it again.
Yeah.
Come February.
Woo.
If you like kobolds, there's a kobold character who is kind of my co-host. So check that out at blastropodcast.com. We also do a sidecar podcast called Muffed Movies, where we act out movies. We just did Batman. We do a lot of nerdy movies you might like. Also, I write and act for a podcast called Our Fair City, which is a campy sci-fi radio drama epic, and I will be directing a live performance of Our Fair City as the opener for Improvised Star Trek at I.O. on February 22nd. So if you live in Chicago, February 22nd, go see Improvised Star Trek at I.O., and you'll get to see some cool, campy, sci-fi comedy beforehand.
Because Improvised Star Trek will be very straight-laced. Not at all campy.
You can learn more at ourfaircity.com.
If this airs in February, I have no clue what I'll be doing. So be on the lookout.
My life is sad and empty.
I don't know what's going on in February. It's too far out. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming out and discussing the fine game that is Baldur's Gate. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, topic suggestions, please email them to nerdoutcastpodcast@gmail.com. Like us in iTunes, give us a good rating, like us on Facebook. That all helps us out super duper much. I have been your host, Chris Bashan, and joining me to talk about Baldur's Gate have been
Mark Soloff,
Pete Navis,
Joel Thompson,
Brad Rady.
Thank you, and have a good night.